You've tuned in to 96.7 on your FM dial. This is Hugh Cruzell, and the program is Quality of Life, QOL. That's the way it's listed. You could be listening to a podcast, a broadcast. Of course, you can be listening at 6 o'clock on Thursdays, or asynchronous. Listening is available. Just go to Spotify, type in my name, Hugh Cruzell, and the word podcast, and Spotify will have this and hundreds of episodes. I'm here today with Gary LeClaire. And Gary is an accomplished, you know what, award-winning, am I right, Gary? Award-winning wildlife, specifically ornithological carver. Is that what you would call yourself?
Yes.
Yes. And you've got here on the table a selection of waterfowl. Actually, I think that is a carnivorous bird, isn't it? Or Whiskey Jack is...
That is...
A shrike?
Sharp-shinned shrike.
Shrike. I thought it might be a shrike.
Yeah.
But the coloration... And that one there with the... You've actually put it on a pedestal with a little bit of barbed wire. Is that a... Also, or is that a seed eater?
This is Eastern Meadowlark.
Eastern Meadowlark. Beautiful coloration. Look at... Gary, you must have done hours and hours of research to get the... I mean, this is 3D. This is... They're essentially, almost all of them, I would say, except for the duck, because you never really tell with ducks. All the action's under the water, right?
Yeah.
But they all look like they could be alive, in action. It's real. What drove you to work in this medium?
Actually, I met a fellow, and he was a school teacher, a fellow by the name of Wayne Allen. And
here in Sudbury.
Here in Sudbury at Confederation High School. And he introduced himself as Wayne Allen. He says, and I carve, but I carve birds. And he walked away.
That's it?
He literally walked away.
That's an unusual way, yes.
And I thought, that's strange. So the very next day, my phone rings. Voice on the other end says, Wayne Allen here, and I carve, remember? I'd like to come over and visit you. And I thought, I don't think so. Anyway, 10 minutes later, knock at the door, and there's Wayne Allen with a cardboard box full of birds. We sit down at the kitchen table, and he shows me these birds, and he says, I belong to a carving club that meet at Lockerbie Composite once a week. And it's run by a fellow by the name of Orest Andrews, who's quite an artist. I'd like you to come. And I said, no way. No. I'm not interested.
Little did you know.
Tuesday night, phone rings. Allen here. I'll be there in 10. Sure enough, 10 minutes later.
He picked you up and took you?
He took me to...
Boy, he was insistent, wasn't he?
He was. And I went in and I looked around and I thought,
these are not my people.
No. And anyway, I decided to do one bird, and it was a miniature Merganser.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, I thought, you know, that wasn't so bad. And I went and talked to Orest Andrews, and I said, you know what, Orest? I'd like to maybe carve a couple of birds, but I don't want to do ducks. I'd like to do songbirds. So he drew a picture of a bird for me. And we cut it out, and I started carving
it. Like in
it.
A block of wood, you got the basic shape drawn out.
Yeah.
And... You just have to reveal it then.
Yeah. And anyway, the way I went, and I thought, you know what? I kind of like this. And Orest Andrews, I don't know what he saw in me, but he took me under his wing and he mentored me.
Under his wing?
Yeah.
In bird carving. Oh, you did that on purpose, I'm sure.
No,
is he with us any
longer? Passed away. He passed away, and I...
And was that carving with tools?
Yeah, it was,
originally? And yeah. Then, like, you've got a power drill tool that has all kinds of bits over there.
Yeah.
Did that come later?
It did.
Yes. But were they fundamentalists in the way they carved initially? I guess everybody was. I think of the movie Paddle to the Sea by the National Film Board. Remember he carved the canoe and the...
Yeah.
Yes. What a story. How many birds... have emerged from your hands and your mind over the years?
If I was to guess, I would say probably between 400 and 500.
400 and 500.
Yeah.
And you've told me in a previous interview that these can take 50 hours to carve and 20 hours or 30 hours to carve and 20 hours to paint, or the other way around, or even more, I guess.
Yeah. Some birds are quite time-consuming when it comes to the painting.
Now, some are full-size, like I'm assuming this cedar waxwing is about the right size, right?
Yeah, close, yeah.
But you've won an award for this over here, the crow, which is 1/5 the size, maybe even smaller?
No, it's half size.
Half size?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And where did you win this award, and what was it?
In Ocean City, Maryland.
And so you would travel with your sample, or would you send photos? I mean, this is, I'm thinking COVID, because we never went and did stuff, but this was pre-COVID, so you drove down,
drove down.
You stood behind your carving, and somebody came and judged it.
You didn't stand behind it. You presented it to them, and they put it on the appropriate table.
Mm.
So the thing that was nice about Ocean City, Maryland, is they judged species by species. So
the precision of it.
Well, not only that, but they didn't judge a crow against a duck.
Oh, I see. So there was like 50 crows and yours, yes. That makes sense.
Yeah. Or
apples,
you know,
to apples.
Herons were judged against herons.
The coloration.
Loons were judged against loons.
Yes.
And then in that category, you know, if they had loons, it was full size and half size.
Ah.
So the full size weren't judged against the half size.
Right.
Or vice versa.
Because you get half the points for the small ones. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But yeah, that's...
You told me that there are many, although a crow to us, we would say it's a black bird, there are many colors, and you had to replicate that in your work.
Yeah. One advantage we have in Canada is the Royal Ontario Museum, which is
collection.
In Toronto,
yes.
Has a collection, a massive collection, of what they call study skins.
Mm-hmm.
And they are birds that people have turned in, and they're stuffed with cotton, and you can rent them for 3 months.
They come by mail to you?
Well,
or you have to go and get them.
Or you could go and get them.
Mm.
And I preferred going to get them because you could pick the bird then. If you phoned in and say,
the affinity
this is
that
what
you
I
had
want,
to that.
They would just pick
so
a bird.
So you'd go to the drawers,
the
and,
drawers
you'd...
and pick the bird, yes. You wanted. So if you want to carve like that crow, then you had the advantage of duplicating the paint to exactness. You could put it under glass and then mix the paint on the glass.
Yes.
And, you know, match to
are
the
bird. Are these oil paints or are these acrylics?
Acrylics.
Acrylics.
It's a product called Josonia paint, and it's exclusively was developed for bird carving.
Because there's an opaqueness and a transparency to it.
Yeah.
I'm looking down here at this smooth version of a Canada goose, which looks like you've carved individual feathers, but you've actually taken a brush and hair by hair done.
Yeah.
That's a labor of love.
It is. It is a labor of love.
Now, because this program is about quality of life, let's ask that question. What did all this bring to you? Did it bring you satisfaction? Did it bring you pride? Yeah.
When I was younger, I was a very shy person. And, you know, if I walked into a room at an event, at the end of the evening, I'd walk out of that room and I knew nobody. My wife would know everybody.
Mm.
Now, if I walk into a room, I know everybody.
Well, you've been doing this.
Because now I can walk around, introduce myself to anybody in the room, and strike up a conversation.
However, let's make that point, and this is one of the reasons we're doing this program, is that your sight is diminishing.
Oh, yes.
So this is affecting your quality of life.
Yep.
What have you got, Gary?
What have I got? What have I got to give?
No, what have you got in terms of decline of eyesight?
I've only got about 10% vision left.
10%, so no driving?
No.
No driving. Is it macular degeneration?
Yes.
And something else?
Glaucoma.
Yes. And none of these are recoverable from?
No.
Cataracts, you can have surgery, of course, and
yeah.
I think you've had that. But being, what do we call it, technically blind? Or what do we actually call it? Unable to see, anyways.
Yeah.
This means you're not carving anymore.
No.
This must be very hard for you.
Yeah.
Because you did this for how long? Would we call it 4 decades?
Oh, I carved for a long time. I carved from the time I started carving when I was in my 30s,
So,
and I carved till I was in my 70s.
mm-hmm.
So 40 years.
Yeah. Well, and seriously, I mean, I'm looking at this heron and the coloration, the amount of skill, the precision, the artistry. Although, you know, you're taking inspiration from nature, this is also you, right? This
Yeah.
is also your. I mean, look at those. Look at that. I mean, folks, if you could see this, I know out in Radio Land you can't see this, but there is, if I zoomed in with my eyes, I can see individual feathers and the way they lie and the coloration changes. And you told me, Gary, you actually had to like build the legs for some of these.
Yes, I did.
So it's not just the body or the face or the beak, it's the whole thing. You
Yeah.
become intimate with them.
Yeah.
You know their shape, their.
Like even
And you
this,
do them in habitat as well.
like that's a piece of barbed wire made of copper.
And you had to create that.
I had to create that, and the stump also. That's an actual piece of
As
basswood.
if it would be the end of a
Yeah.
post or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you put a little. Let me just look at the top of that. You've even put a little bit of lichen in the top of that.
Yeah, I
As
did.
it's real. These are heritage pieces. These will be kept and loved for years. Do we know where they will end up? You're 83 now. What's the next step for some of these carvings?
My kids and grandkids will inherit probably every piece that's on this table.
Well, you've got not just on the table. I'm just going to walk over here, and there's one on a piece of I'm going to see that's dried pine of some sort. And there's this, what is this one here, this bird?
That's a white-throated sparrow.
A white-throat sparrow. And just hanging on the wall, just on a piece of what we might call driftwood,
It is.
and just as if it's ready to flit, to leave the spot where it is right now. And you've got actually a live bird in your home.
I do.
And what is this
It's a
bird?
canary.
It is a canary. She's beautiful. She's peachy colored.
Yeah. She's going through a mo he.
Oh, it's a he. Oh.
Yeah, he's going through a molt right now, so he's not singing. Because it
Oh.
takes all their energy to grow new feathers.
Uh-huh.
And yeah.
Well, I got a little peep at the beginning,
Yeah.
but that's about it. Let's talk about quality of life. You know, you expressed to me in a previous conversation that losing your driver's license, losing the ability to drive, was a huge piece of change, transition for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that? If it's not too.
No, it's not. Actually, what happened was I had gone into town, and I don't remember the occasion. I was driving home, and oh, I know, I was working at Princess Auto.
Oh.
I hated retirement. I hated it. And anyway, I got a job at Princess Auto, and I loved it because I loved the interaction
With
with
customers.
customers.
Yeah, on LaSalle Boulevard.
Yes, exactly. And I was driving home from work one night after a day shift, and I got to the lights at Main Street in Valcairn, and I drove right through a red light. And I got home and I said to Joan, "You'll never believe what I did. I drove through a red light today. I'm never driving again." And I didn't. And for a while, it was hard on me, really, you know, not being able to drive number one and not wanting to drive number two, because I thought, you know, if I get into an accident,
It's not just you that gets.
my name
Yes.
is going to be, you know, guess what Gary LeClaire did, and
Wow.
I wouldn't be able to live with myself.
No.
So I decided not to, and you know that it was hard for a while, but I've gotten used to it. I've got people now that drive me around a fair bit. Kevin Shanahan is one, and my wife has a female friend, and she takes me out once in a while when she wants to see some certain waterfalls that I can take her to, because I can still find my way to to a waterfalls. And
this doesn't impinge on your walking ability or anything. You still have a sense of where you are.
Well, I'm very careful now when I walk. I have a walking stick.
Yes.
It's one that the blind use. It's white with red at the bottom. And
it's for you, but it also alerts people that you have a vision issue.
If they're smart enough.
You just jump a little.
Because some people don't realize what that white stick means.
That's incredible. I thought we all grew up understanding that. Apparently not. So when did you start driving? Did you start at 16? Or a little earlier? Oh, I can tell it was a little earlier.
Yeah, I was a bad boy. When we were young, I was raised Catholic and go to the church. And of course, we had access to the rectory and I forged my own birth certificate. At 15 years old.
Should we be telling the world that? I don't know. But you got a driver's license. And you grew up in Coniston, a nice small town. Yeah. Everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
It's still a fairly vibrant town as well.
Yeah.
Do you go back to Coniston to
see
people?
I do, because I have a sister and brother-in-law that live there. Yeah, I go there not often, but I go there at least probably 10 times a year.
And you're a veteran.
I am.
You served in the Canadian Forces for a number of years, and you have a support group that I get. You go to the support group from time to time?
Once a month.
Yeah. All the way out to Lockerbie.
Yes.
And
I have a vet that takes me there. He just lives over here by the Hanmer Mall.
Oh, that's handy.
And he picks me up, yeah, and brings me home. It was actually funny. I was in the Hanmer Mall one day, and I was in the liquor store, and this guy, he's standing behind me, and he said, "Are you a vet?" And I said, "Yeah."
He says, "What gave it away?"
A hat that I wear.
Oh, okay.
And I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "We have a veterans group that meet at the Lockerbie Legion, and I'd like you to come." And I said, "Well, I don't drive, so I can't get there." He says, I'll pick you up. And he did. And we have become very good friends.
Buddy looks after you, you look after Buddy.
Yeah, and actually he was in the process of starting to build garden boxes. And they're 6 feet long, 2 feet wide, a foot deep.
Made of wood.
Made of wood and 3 feet up off the ground. And he had a contract for 35 of them for the town of Mark's Day. So he said, "You think you could give me a hand building these?" So him and I built over 100 of them garden boxes.
This is during COVID?
No, just recently.
Recently. Okay.
Yeah. And then I built, he had the chance to sell Adirondack chairs.
Oh, yes.
So he was buying the kits at Costco. He dropped them off at the door here, and I was building them for him.
Hmm.
So I built...
So your hands are busy.
Yeah.
Because earlier in our conversation, I asked you, how do you miss, the fine skills of doing carving? And I said, are your hands busy? And they are.
They are. So I built 30 Adirondack chairs for them. And we sold them. And actually, we donated $1,000 to the veterans group in Sudbury from money that we raised selling these garden boxes and chairs.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
Wow. You forget all these things. We work so hard as young people to grow up. We have that rite of passage of maybe getting a driver's license. We go to university or college or whatever we do. We work. But there's another segment to your life. Have you been enjoying, you said retirement made you a little crazy, but have you been enjoying some of it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, seeing family is important.
For sure.
But most of them aren't here anymore, right?
Well,
like a lot of Sudbury people, I have
a daughter and son-in-law and two grandkids that live over here on Demera.
Oh, not far away.
Yeah, not far away. And the rest of them live in Toronto. So Joan and I go to Toronto at least 4 times a year.
By plane?
We take the bus. We take the bus, and my daughter picks us up at Yorkdale, yeah. and we'll spend some time down there with the kids.
And some of these, as we mentioned, will go to grandchildren. You told me
yes.
that most grandchildren, or all of them, have at least two pieces now, or maybe one, I don't know. Did they get to choose, or did you?
No.
It's by, you know, their character and what, and some of them are in care, I guess, because some grandchildren are quite young, maybe.
The youngest one is 16.
Oh, well, not that young.
No.
Do they must take great pride in the fact that you've built things for them. Maybe build's not the right word. Crafted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever had a show, an exhibition? I know you've been in competitions. Has there been? I first saw you at the Parkside Center years ago. Have you had an exhibition of your work?
Not very many. I think I had one in North Bay years and years and years ago when I was actually, I was teaching classes in North Bay also for a while. And then I found the traveling was just
too much.
Too much. And I kind of gave up on that. But I had one show there in the North Bay Mall. Mm-hmm. And other than that,
but you didn't have to commute for some of your teaching and some of your work because you held a workshops right here in your own home.
Yeah.
For years?
Yeah. Oh, 15 years.
15 years.
Yeah.
And 12 people in each course. And how many times did you offer the course in the course of a year? 3-4 times? I'm just doing the math here, Gary, because I'm thinking how many people you influenced over the years.
What we did was we would pick a specific bird. And we all did the same bird.
Ah.
So I would demonstrate, you know, the next step. They would go to their workstations and they would do what I had just done. Then they would come back and we'd just go through the bird, you know.
Let's ask that question. What's the easiest bird to carve? Oh, I bet you there's no answer to that one. Because it's the amount of detail you put into it, the amount of love, I guess.
Yeah.
It's hard to know, isn't it?
It is.
What about the typical robin? Did you do robins? No.
You know what? I did one.
And
they're
not a pretty bird, actually.
They're not.
No, turdus, I think, is the proper American
American
robin. They're not beautiful, but we love them when they come back in the spring.
Yeah, we love the sound.
Although
of
they
them.
Stay here, some of them stay in the winter.
Yeah, they do.
And we do love the sound. I've got to tell you, folks, if you were here, you'd see this cedar waxwing with doing exactly what it does. I'm assuming that's a mountain ash berry that it's got in its mouth. And
yes.
Because they will eat those at the end of the season. But it's the little dots of red and yellow as if their feathers have been dipped in a little bit of paint. Anyway, obviously you had to paint them on. But in real life, doesn't it look like they've been dipped in paint?
Yeah.
They're one of the prettiest. Don't they call them the gentleman bird? Something like that. They're elegant.
They are.
And they behave very cooperatively.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's next for you? If you don't mind me asking, will you downsize? Will you stay here?
No, I'll stay here.
Yeah.
You know, my eyesight, the way it is.
I know everything.
I know this house.
Yes.
And I can close my eyes and I can find anything I need to in this house. And Joan, my wife, I love her to death. She doesn't move anything.
Huh?
And you know, that's one of the things she said, Gary. In fact, we talked about it yesterday. We could never move from here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because of, you know, your
familiarity.
Condition. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've got good neighbors?
Yeah.
Now, Gary, you actually, I was a little surprised. You stood up on a chair to get a carving and you had no hesitation about that. You were just... The house is you. You are the house.
Yeah.
And you know where everything is.
Yeah.
This is a really important piece, I guess, of your aging process.
Yeah.
I'll ask it. You're going out feet first out of here? Is that the...
Probably, yes. If I can.
Yes. Well, that's marvelous. And your children could support you, especially the ones close by.
Oh, yeah.
Do they do grocery shopping for you?
Joan and I do it.
You go up to the metro or around the corner to Hanmer to the Food Basics. Yeah. And all your friends are here.
All my friends are here.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. Years and years. And you know which cupboard has got what thing, and it's all familiar, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, many of us in the dark can find things, but your
right.
darkness is a little different.
Yeah.
Hmm. Have you noticed in, say, the last year that your vision has declined even more?
Yes.
Yeah. So 10% left, If it declines by 10%, you'll still have 9%.
Actually, Dr. Schomburger told me that I will never go completely blind, you'll which still is, have, you know,
shapes. You can see shapes and colors and brightness.
Which is, you know, makes me feel good that I'll never go completely blind.
Mm-hmm. And you've had tools applied as well to make life easier. I don't know if we talked now or we talked earlier about the CNIB supporting you with a text tool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. And you've put your chair right up here. You've got a big screen TV. We live in an interesting time.
I do.
Yeah.
We do.
We do, definitely. And you can watch familiar movies. Now, I wanted to ask about these ducks down here. These are historic ones that you found, or these?
They were ducks that people used back in...
decoys.
As decoys.
That's for how... Isn't that how all these duck things started? It was decoys, and people then just turned it into an art form?
And you know where these come from?
No.
Mr. Floriani.
Oh, my goodness. He found them over the years?
He had them... He bought a cottage...
In Killarney.
A camp in Killarney.
Yeah.
Carlisle Lake.
Carlisle Lake.
And these were there.
That's marvelous.
And they didn't want them. So guess who... inherited them.
Well, we've been talking about inheritance, we've been talking about change, we've been talking about decline in vision, but also the quality of life one can maintain if you, well, stay where you're comfortable, interact with your community, have supports. And I want to thank Gary LeClaire for inviting me into his home today to talk about the challenges he's facing, or you know, maybe they're not challenges, maybe they're just part of life, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
What's next for you today, Gary?
Here, I gotta tell you this story.
Did you do miniatures in bottles too?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But the uncle that got shot by Clarence Brusso, when I was a little boy, I was probably about 5 years old, and I was with my mother and father visiting them, and he was explaining to me how he was going to put this model ship in that bottle.
And this is one of his?
And then he got killed.
Yes.
And this bottle disappeared. And when my aunt died, I hunted that house for 2 hours, and I found it downstairs in the basement up on the rafters. And I put a little base underneath.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, that was Uncle Jim that actually did that.
Wow.
That's something.
Well, more stories here, and certainly I bet you through interacting with more members of our community who are, you know, in their 80s, octogenarians, we'll find all kinds of stories in it. Some of them we'll broadcast here on CKLU 96.7. You've been listening to QOL. My name's Hugh Cruzell, and this program is available to you at 6 o'clock on Thursdays. On podcasts, anytime, just Google my name, Hugh Cruzell, the word podcast. You can also use Radio Garden. You just rotate the globe, and you can listen from anywhere in the world. I want to thank Gary LeClaire for being my guest today.
Thank you very much for doing the interview. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I'm glad you did. I did too.
Very enjoyed it.
Thank you. Bye for now, folks.